Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Faye Clark.
It's been speaking to me a lot about what things look like this week. And he said, whatever the canvas looks like, I'm working good. And I'm not a very good artist. So my canvases always look messy if Ty says, let's do a canvas. But God really said to me, doesn't matter what it looks like, I see the finished picture. And I am the master artist. So all you have to trust is whatever I'm drawing, I see the beginning from the end. I don't see the middle messy bit. I just see the finished article. And you might look this morning and think, we've only got a guitar at the front. Where's our worship team? Oh, well, the enemy's having a field day. We've just got a guitar, we've got no drums, we've got no bass, we've got no millions of singers. And the canvas might look messy to you. And I was going, God, what's happening to our worship? And God said, don't look at the mess of the canvas. Just remember I'm working good. And as I've been preparing this week, God has really been placing on my heart what he wants to rebuild in the house. And if we buy a plot of land with a big old bungalow on from the 19 whatevers, and we want a three-story house with a pool, yeah, I'll receive that. We have to knock the bungalow down and start again. But it doesn't mean we have to buy the materials afresh. Nehemiah didn't go out and buy all fresh materials. He used what God had already placed in his hand. And so I know that God is rebuilding and reestablishing. And I'm going to share some of that with you today. Because I don't want you to look at the canvas and let the enemy distract you. I don't want you to look at the canvas and think everything seems a bit messy, what's going on? Because God is in control. And you know, I can say that because I've been saying to God, you know, the canvas looks a bit messy. I'm not really sure what's going on here. If you'd like to share it with me, now would be a great time because I need a bit of encouragement. And every time I said that to God, somebody's text me, Vicky, you're amazing. Or somebody brings a word, Steve, this morning. I said to God this morning, I feel really inadequate today, God. You really... need to affirm your word to the house. And Steve brought a word about rebuilding. So I want to encourage you that the message that I'm bringing today, God hasn't just highlighted to me, but he's put it in the sky with Steve. And so I do. I'm a girl, so I get a bit emotional. Is that all right? Nothing wrong with showing a bit of vulnerability because I know that I'm loved here. And it's been a tough few weeks. In fact, it's been a tough few months, hey? We've had a rough time. Let's not pretend that everything's been amazing, because it's not. And God's been speaking to me about restoring the house of God. And that takes some rebuilding. And sometimes God has to break some stuff down for us to be able to put the building blocks back in the place where he would have them. And he's not been talking to me about restoring the house to the former glory, because that's not God's plan. But he's been talking to me about what he wants and is building now on the already strong foundation that this house has over the last nearly 25 years. And he's been reminding me of the DNA of the church that is prayer and worship. And I feel that God is calling us, that's you and me, to rebuild the house, to put prayer and worship back in the place that it belongs. Now, I'm sorry if I'm reading a lot of my notes. I don't want to get it wrong this morning. God's spoken to me quite specifically. I don't want to add to his word. And so I read this quote this week, and it says this: to Christians, prayer is like air to humans. We can't live without air, and Christians cannot live without prayer. And I really feel that God is urging us to stop being lazy and to stop being comfortable with our prayer and our worship, and to be inspired and impassioned, and that it's time right now to take action. Because the church needs you. I need you. God's chosen you to be in this house at such a time as this. And I don't need to be sitting there thinking, oh, this is a bit heavy. Yeah, it might be a bit heavy, but it's like God, let's look at it for what it is. God wants to move us forward. He's re-establishing something so that we can enter into the due season that he's promised. Because if we have 50 people come in and we're not strong and we're not protected and we've not got strong foundations and we're not praying and we're not worshipping, what are we bringing those people into? Is God actually going to release them into the house if we're not ready? And I was really challenged because God said this, and we had a bit of a laugh about this yesterday, did Steve and Jay and me and Rosemary. And he said this: do you spend more time on your iPhone than you do on your knees? It was a massive challenge. And we joked about it yesterday, but I've been up half of the night while God has spoken to me about this. And do we spend more time reading Facebook and social media than we do reading our Bibles? Sorry if that's a challenge. Hashtag not sorry at all. I love you guys, and God loves you, and he wants the best for you. He only brings a word of challenge when he wants the best, us, that we can be. And in Matthew 26, verse 40, we realize that even the disciples that walked every day with Jesus, that's us guys as well, needed a little reminder. And it says this: when he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, can't you stick it out with me for a single hour? Come on, stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger. Wow. There is a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God, but there's another part that's as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. I love the message. Because I just am like, wow. And I looked at my not so old dog, but she's very lazy, when I was doing that. And sometimes I say to Steve, oh, it's right, dog's live, isn't it? Love to be Molly. She gets snuggled on the settee. She gets fed three times a day. She goes out for a walk. Somebody plays with her. Somebody gives her strokes. And then she goes to sleep on the bed. I was like, come on, that's the life, isn't it? It's not really, though, is it? Hey. And I felt that in the infamous words of Andy Elms, it's time to take out of the basement the things that we have tucked away. The things that we've put in a box because it's easier and less time consuming. But it's not the most healthy. Thank you. It's time to arise as the warriors that he has called us to be with our weapons of prayer and worship. And rebuild the walls for strengthening and security. Because God wants you to be strong and he wants you to be safe. Because he wants the best. And I've been reading Nehemiah probably for about ever, it feels like. And we haven't got time to read the whole of Nehemiah today. But I would encourage you with a bit of homework and to go home and read Nehemiah and just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you through that book about our context here. And allow the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your spirit to what he is calling us to do. But Nehemiah basically falls into two parts. The first six chapters covers the reconstruction of the wall, and the remaining 7 to 13 deal with the reinstruction of the people. And basically with the whole of that, you've got the book of Nehemiah under those two kind of subjects. But I was thinking about a wall, and I was thinking about what it signifies, and I was thinking about the Berlin Wall and how that divides a city, or did divide a city. But then I looked at what ordinarily does a wall symbolise, and it symbolises strength and protection. And in ancient cities, the real means of defences were their walls, and sometimes these walls were big and thick and high. For example, the walls of the city of Babylon, as recounted in the story of Daniel, was actually 380 feet thick. I can't even begin to think how many of me that is. It's a lot. It's like wide. And over 100 feet high, and that's a lot of me too. So that's massive. And therefore, it considered itself to be safe. What does it mean then to rebuild the walls of our life? Because when we rebuild the walls of our life, we're going to know how to rebuild the walls of the house. They go hand in hand. We can't think, oh, we'll rebuild the house, but God doesn't want to rebuild our lives. He does it in parallel. So as we're rebuilding, he's rebuilding in us and he's rebuilding in the house. And so we're going to be strong and we're going to be protected. And the house is going to be strong and the house is going to be protected. And our relationships are going to be strong and our relationships are going to be protected. And our worship is going to be strong and our worship is going to be protected. And our leaders are going to be strong and our leaders are going to be protected. And our intercessors are going to be strong and our intercessors are going to be protected. And the people are going to be strong and the people are going to be protected, so that when we welcome people into the house, they're coming into a house of strength, they're coming into a place of peace, and they're coming into a place where they are protected and they don't even know it. So the first step, if you like, that we learn through Nehemiah is in chapter 1 and verse 4. And it begins with a concern about the ruins by Nehemiah himself. And he says this: "When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." And for me, for a few months now, I have really been crying out to God, "What's happening, God? What's happening with our worship? What's happening with our lives? What's happening with our prayer? What's going on? What's going on, God?" And I've fasted and I've prayed and I've fasted and I've prayed, and God has spoken. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. Have we ever taken a good look at the ruins of our lives, or do we like to put a sticking plaster on a gash? It's really hard, isn't it, sometimes to look at our lives and go, "Oh, well, that's really pap." That's like a metaphorical word for poo. It's rubbish, but if I just keep my smile on, everything's going to be all right and nobody's going to know that things are really bad in here. Do I spend more time on my iPhone than I do on my knees? And you know, when I wrestled with God in the night, it's because I was convicted. I did not sleep because of you guys not spending more time on your knees than your phone. I wrestled with God last night and couldn't sleep because I probably spend too much time on my iPhone and not enough time on my knees. And I probably spend too much time reading Facebook when I should be reading my Bible. We can be honest, can't we, with one another? I can be honest with you because me and God have done business. And not because God wants to bash me over the head going, you're not doing enough. It's because he loves me. And he loves the house. And he wants the fullness of it. And he wants me to be safe. And he wants me to be strong. And I guess our challenge is, if we really look, do we know we've got to rebuild some of those foundational things in our lives? It took Nehemiah to repent on behalf of the city. And then it took courage for him to take action. Because we can recognize it, but then it takes a different amount of courage to arise and go, come on, it's time. And just like Nehemiah was the man that said, I will arise and build, when a body like us go, we're going to arise and build, the enemy goes, and I'm going to arise and I'm going to oppose. And we go, sorry, we've read the end. You can try and arise and oppose, but I'm telling you now that I have the victory in God. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't say it might be finished. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's finished, and you are under my feet, and I'm going to arise, and I'm going to build all that it is that God has called me to arise and build in this house, in this place, at this time. And the enemy, you can get lost because you've robbed enough. I'm a bit mad, can you tell? Because I've had enough of him under my feet trying to arise and oppose this house. Because this is what God's given to us. God's given it to us, it belongs to us, and he has the victory in this house. Ooh. It's a bit warm up here. And we need to rise with that victory banner of Jesus and say, this far and no further. We're rebuilding the house. What the canvas says is damaged. What the canvas says has been through a battle. Yeah, come on, we've been through a battle. It's been tough. Let's not pretend it hasn't, because we would be stupid. But do you know what? We can't change that. We can't change what's happened. We can't always understand what's happened, but God knows. He knew it was coming, and he knew that he was working good, and he knows the end, and the promises for this house are yes and amen through the cross of Jesus. Because when he died, he said, it's finished, it's done. And he's saying to us, we need to arise with courage. We need to arise and put those building blocks back in the center of our life. The building blocks of prayer and worship are the very foundations that this church is built on. And it's time for us to put them back into the place where they belong. The center of the house. And if the enemy can stop us praying, and the enemy can stop us worshiping, or our flesh, because let's not give it all of the benefit to him. If our flesh can stop us praying and our flesh can stop us worshipping, then we've done the job for him himself. And so God has been speaking to me about the tools and the weapons of worship and prayer that he's given us, and he's given a very clear strategy. Now, I can't make you pray and worship. Not going to get the three-line whip out, ka-ching, ka-ching. Not like Steve Parker on the... I was having a joke with Josh yesterday. I was like, oh, did Steve have the three-pronged whip out on Tuesday at midweek, did he? Have we whipping you all into order? But I can't. But the Holy Spirit can ignite an enthusiasm when we step out in obedience. When we go, I don't feel like praying. Well, arise and pray anyway. Because most of the time, that's half the battle. And so we have initiated some fresh prayer opportunities. That's a good word, isn't it? Opportunities. And so, I can't answer for your own prayer life. That's up to you and God. And we're going to have some time just reflecting shortly about what it is that God is saying to us about our own lives. Because it's not a big thing, you know. We have to say is, you know, I wrestled with God last night about the whole Facebook and iPhone thing. Oh, I need my phone. Well, you don't need your phone all the time. You don't need your phone with BBC Sport on a Saturday every 5 minutes. That's mine and my husband's in-joke. And I was like, God, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that I've put those sort of things before you. Because you deserve my best. And you know, God's gracious. And he pours out from an open heaven and he's like, it's all right. I've removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. Come on, let's start to rebuild. And so we are relaunching our prayer watch. Now then, is everybody here breathing? Oh, good. Just checking. Because I've come up with this observation, is that if we can breathe, we can pray. I know, it's really good, isn't it? And so we have a prayer watch here, and I don't know if everybody knows about it or not, but we commit to pray for an hour every day of the week. It used to be a 24-hour clock. We changed it to the week because we didn't want to just cover prayer for 24 hours. We want to cover prayer 24/7, really. So I've asked Audrey to do a little sign-up sheet here. Thought I'd give you the opportunity to make a covenant with you and God this morning. And what we do on that is we ask people to just pray for an hour a day. Now, just going to remind you of this. Matthew 26 and verse 40. When he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep. Now, I also have another confession. Well, yeah, I'm confessing a lot this morning. Is I really struggle with my prayer hour. Because I find that I fall asleep. Come on, I can't be the only person. Come on. Come on, other people be really honest too. And so I have to split my prayer hour into two half hours, and I come to the conclusion that God doesn't really mind as long as I'm praying when I've said that I'm going to pray. In fact, the word says pray continuously without ceasing. So, you know, when he came back to the disciples, he found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Can't you stick it out with me for a single hour? Stay alert, be in prayer, so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing you're in danger." And God's really been speaking to me about that hour. And as the people of God in this house arise for 1 hour, he's going to keep us safe. Every hour that you pray is another block into the wall. Remember how many feet thick? 380 feet thick, that's a lot of prayer stones. And 100 feet high, that's even more. But every hour of every day that somebody in this house prays for the house, we're building block by block, by prayer, strength, security, and protection into the work of God, into Ballston, the county, the nation, and the nations. And so Audrey and I have sat down and we've looked at the prayer clock because I felt that God was saying that we needed to be really specific in our prayers. And God said to me, you need to pray specifically. Stop darting all these arrows here, there and everywhere. When we're all praying the same thing with the same heart, we're going to see victory. And so I used to open my prayer clock and be a bit like, oh, I don't know where to start. It's a bit long. So we have removed from the prayer clock, not because we're not praying for people with healing needs. Please don't think that we're not, that we still very much are praying for people that need healing. But the prayer watch is going to be very specific. And so in the prayer watch, we're going to be praying for the promise of God that he gave us for the due season. And there's some very specific things to pray. And then each month, Audrey and I are going to seek God about what he's asking us to pray for that month. And so you're going to have things to pray through the month. And then from October, you're going to have a promise that God has given to the church. Because God has been reminding me, we've been kind of orchestrating a file with all the promises that God has spoken to this house. And so every month we're going to pray specifically a promise that God's given the house. Because he hasn't forgotten and they're not dead. And so that's going to be the prayer watch. That's the first opportunity that you have to join us in building the house in prayer. Then from Wednesday the 5th of September, we're bringing back a church day of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting brings breakthrough. We don't just fast because we want to lose a bit of weight, right? We can fast food. We can actually fast media. We can fast our phones. Nobody's saying you've got to fast food. There's lots of things. You ask God what he's asking you to fast. And so there's the opportunity for you to join us on a Wednesday. Can we have the... Sorry, Angus, I forgot about that. Done some slides. So yeah, we're going to plug into the power of prayer and fasting. We're going to plug back into the source, the one that provides our strength and our energy and our power. And so there is some leaflets today to take away. This is our prayer and fasting points for September. They're on the back. With mine and Audrey's email address, if you can send any feedback that you have when you're praying, either on the prayer watch, when you're praying and fasting to us, because then we can see what God's saying to people, because you hear God too. Don't leave it to the few. And we're going to be prayer walking. God's given us a mandate to take a hold of the village and the place that is placed into our hands. And so we're going to be walking the village and praying. We're going to be doing that every day here and then on some Tuesday evenings as well. You can key into prayer at Tuesday midweek. I can see everyone going, oh yeah, but that's another night. It is. But we can't afford to be lazy when we're rebuilding the house of God. We just can't. We can't just sit in a comfort zone and go, somebody else will do it. Well, Faye's paid, she can do it. Faye would do it even if she wasn't paid. Because my heart is for the house. Come and key on our Tuesday evening. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we do Bible study. But when we're here in the house, we're stronger together. You're strengthened, you're encouraged, and you're equipped. And then on the first Monday of every month, there's the opportunity to come and worship in the house. We're not talking Taste of Heaven. We're not talking Saturday nights as they used to be. We're talking about coming to the house with a guitar and worshipping God. God is bringing us back to the very heart of worship. He doesn't need a drum kit, a bass guitar, 10 backing vocalists, a lead singer and somebody dancing at the front. What God needs is a heart of worship, and that's what he's seeking for. The word says, I'm looking for a people who will worship me in spirit and in truth. And my heart is that here, he's going to find that. And then we're going to have quarterly half nights of prayer. Because for too long, we've not allowed prayer to be in the place that it needs to be. At the heart and the centre of the house. And we're going to put that right. So what is God asking you? Well, if he's asking you the same as he was asking me, then he's asking you to check your walls. And he's asking you to think, how am I doing? And you will know today, because I know that the Holy Spirit is in this house. And I know that he's going to have been speaking to people's hearts. And you may need to get in that right place with Jesus and be really honest with him about the state of your walls. I don't want to know about the state of your walls unless you need some pastoral care. But you know, Jesus already knows the state of our walls. So we're only deceiving ourselves, actually. He's preparing us, you and me, the church, for the due season that he's promised. That means that we have to be refined as gold and silver. But as we're refined, we're strengthened. And we're made ready to receive the harvest. And so, we're just going to worship God. I don't want anyone to go from here feeling convicted or condemned or, oh, my ruins are terrible. Sometimes it's good if our ruins are terrible, because when there's a mess, God can put it back together the way that he wants it to be. And there's an opportunity today to respond to his word and make a covenant between you and God, because only you know if you can keep watch for an hour. And you know, I don't care, God doesn't care if you do 4 15-minute, whether you do 2 half-an-hours, whether you do a whole hour. If you do a whole hour, don't be found sleeping like those disciples. We're going to worship. There's space at the front if you want to just come and get before God. You can stay in your seat if you want to. Just take this opportunity as you worship him to ask him to show you how he wants to rebuild in your life today. How he wants to strengthen you. How he wants you to be protected. How he wants you to know how much that he loves you and that he cares for you. Let him show you how he wants you to be strong in him for the next season of our walk together. Let's stand and worship God.